Here is a quick refresh from part one of this series.
Vincent Torres, I'm 21 years old. I joined the Army July of 2021.
I'm Second Lieutenant Keck. I'm a recent graduate of Texas A&M University.
I'm Clay Cashman. Go to University of South Alabama.
My name is Jesse Swinehart. Just graduated from college last year. Went to California Maritime Academy. Getting ready to start a career in the military.
Yeah, so I'm Donald Neal, commissioned in 2022.
Fell in love with the culture that my dad was in, where it was just like, it was so people-oriented all the time.
I'm Ryan LeClaire. I'm graduating from Leilua High School here in Wahiawa, Hawaii. I'm going to be heading off to West Point in late June.
So I am Joshua Knight. I'm a sergeant first class in the United States Army. I'm currently at the University of Central Arkansas in Conway, Arkansas, the city of colleges.
I was kind of headed in the wrong direction.
My dad was in the Army. He didn't talk about it. He was in Vietnam, did 6 years. He passed away, unfortunately, when I was really young, at the age of 14. I saw what kind of dad and father he was and how other people really adored him. I essentially followed in my father's footsteps. And my mom kind of was like, hey, have you thought about the military? Because I was a hard-headed, I'd like to say a punk kid. I would say my father, by far, was my motivation. And then
welcome to another episode of Teach Me to Fish, where our purpose is to help leaders better understand what drives people. In today's world, the core of recruiting and retaining talent revolves around leadership, and not just average leadership, but motivated, values-based, inspirational leadership. Our purpose is to get a little bit better every day. Progress equals small victories and stacking habits. Habits like getting up early, working your butt off, learning something new, being positive, and surrounding yourself with phenomenal people. Today's episode is part two of a series where we're hearing from a collection of young people who have chosen to serve. If you missed part one, go back when you're done with this episode and give it a listen. In that episode, you'll hear about who they are, why they chose to serve, and some of the people who inspired them along the way. In most cases, these are some of the kids of some of my closest friends. So when I think about investing time and sharing their stories, I think about investing time in my family and the Army. In this episode, we'll focus on what they're looking forward to the most about serving, and in some cases, what they're enjoying the most about service so far. They'll talk about being surrounded by people who are driven, traveling the world, and most inspiring to me, learning to lead. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation.
Yeah, I feel like I've been in the Army long enough to know like when someone's doing what they're supposed to be doing. And like I remember it like it was yesterday, my first day in First Rock heading out to Juliet Drop Zone. And I remember you getting in the back seat of the same car and we were driving out there.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yeah. I just got back from Ranger School. So I grew up in the 25th in Alaska from 2010 to 14. And then I went to Ranger School, got airborne qualified. And I was like, man, what can I do? Like, I want to get my airborne experience because I had a goal to go to RASP, to go to regiment. And I went to Italy, 2014 to 2017. Then from 2017 to 2019, I went to the 82nd Airborne. And then from 19 to 23, I went to 101st Airborne, spent 4 years there. Yeah, I just graduated Ranger School, PCS to the 173rd. And I was going out to meet my platoon for the first time. Everyone was forward. I think they were, I don't remember it exactly, but I remember Sergeant Jonathan Grant was a driver, and he was like, hey, do you want to TC me or go with me? And I didn't really know who we were picking up. Didn't know it was our battalion XO at the time either. I was new to the whole airborne community. I was just trying to figure things out and get my foot, you know, situated. I was a young 23, 24, and just a young team leader. And yeah, I met you for the first time and we talked. You were like, what are your goals? What are your aspirations? Just like you are now, like no different. Like you just talked to me like a man, like a person, not someone that guy was, you know, less than. And so I appreciated that from the get-go. I was in this brand new, like a little fish in a big pond, right? And yeah. I was just needed someone to, you know, and you were like, what do you, you know, just like you're now, what is your plan? And I'm like, sir, I don't really know. I'm gonna do the best I can, you know, not to give some cheesy, like, just be all you can be, right? Type like motivation. I was still young in the Army, still figuring things out, fresh off a deployment, like you said, Ranger School, Airborne School, like just figuring life out. I remember that car ride too. I met my platoon leader, him and Lieutenant Ty Boyle, Jeremy Gray, Lieutenant Gray. First thing you notice, obviously, a young special with a Ranger tab. Oh, your Ranger qualified. Oh, yes, sir. like, you're probably going to be one of my team leaders. I just need to talk it over with my platoon sergeant. And I'm like, Roger that, sir. And then same thing on the way back, you mentored me. You were just like, hey, you know, what do you think so far? I'm like, I'm just kind of like flabbergasted. This is just all new to me, you know, Italy, like back in Alaska. The retention NCO, Sergeant Drinkwater, I can't make this up. He was like, you're the first person I've sent to Italy from here, or from, you know, everyone wanted to get out of Alaska. They called it Fort Ain't Right, each to their own. I enjoyed it. I love my time in Alaska. So I went, you know, I did a consecutive overseas tours from Alaska to Italy. So I was just living it up as a young, you know, 24-year-old kid, as anyone should be, just taking it all in. And that was my first impression. We were the first people that I met.
And just imagine, like, you fast forward to you being a platoon sergeant, and that now you're running into another LeClaire, like standing in formation or standing out there at the 101st, right?
Yeah, I remember that. We both got back from Poland. He was in 126 and I was in 2502, both of the 2nd Brigade, 101st. I'd always looked for him, but he was in a different place across the pond. I was in Poland, Southeast Poland. And then I think he was in Romania.
Yep.
Didn't get the chance to meet him until we were doing our in processing back to the, back to garrison. I saw LeClaire and I was like, whoa, that's not major. See, I still have that in my head. I don't know you as a lieutenant colonel. I don't know you as a colonel. I know you as Major LeClaire. Still in my phone, forever embedded, Major LeClaire. And I was like, hey, you know, you know Major LeClaire? And he was like, he snapped a parade rest and was like, that's my dad. I was like, right on. I was like, well, it's a pleasure to meet you. We exchanged numbers and I was like, hey, little buddy, if you need anything, you let me know. I was like, I don't think you realize the impact your dad has made on me and or like the community of people that have served alongside us. And he was like, Roger, obviously he's a, you know, fresh PFC and like just trying to go through the motions. I'm a sergeant first class. But yeah, that was insane. It's a legacy, a family tradition.
What have you enjoyed the absolute most about being in the Army?
As of right now, present time, like I said, I'm at cadet command. The opportunity to, I like to say it's a very officer-driven Army as of now, and that's okay. We adapt and overcome. But if I can't make those big decisions right, I want to be able to influence the young leaders that can, right? That's kind of how I look at it. And being able to mentor cadets all day, Monday through Friday, obviously the seniors – they have my number. I have the rapport with them most. They're about to be commissioned officers. They have my number. So a lot of them will come with me with this problem, this issue, and be like, hey, Sarnight, you know, can you help me? So the mentorship, the friendships. I think the things that I like about the Army, right? If you ride on a board, it would be friends. 100%. The people that you meet, like, you're never going to – and my dad told me that at a young age. He was like – I think I was like 12. And my dad he was very mild mannered, didn't curse, always, you know, set that example for me as a young boy. But yeah, I would say friends and the able to mentorship and help aid people in their careers and just give them that direction, that purpose, that motivation, not to quote a book, right?
Yeah.
But that's what keeps fuel in the tank. That's why I've stayed in all these years, is I love when people like call me and they're like, hey, I was successful because of you. You helped me. You didn't believe it. Like, no one else believed in me. You did. I think that would be it. Mentorship, being able to give that mentorship and then that love and then the friends, the people that you meet. I mean, obviously we met 10 years ago and we're here.
Yeah.
And I still call you.
It might even have been longer ago.
Yeah. I still call you with these issues or these problems or like, hey, sir, can you help me out? I was an idiot growing up and my GPA was stupid. And so in return, the school thinks that I'm stupid. So, hey, can you help me out with this memorandum for record saying that why I should be led into the school with a 1.9 GPA. And here we are, right?
Yeah.
So
we made it.
It never stops, right?
It
never stops.
Yeah.
It never stops. And it's really cool.
Yeah. We made it. You made it. Yeah.
I'm Ryan LeClaire. I'm graduating from Leilua High School here in Wahi, Hawaii. I'm going to be heading off to West Point in late June, and I'm going to play volleyball there.
What drove you towards service in the first place?
I've grown up around service my entire life. I've grown up on military bases. My sophomore year, when everyone started to think about where they wanted to go to college, I started like seriously considering being in the military. But I knew that I still wanted to go to college. So I started looking into the service academies and I became really interested in that. Towards my senior year, I got the opportunity to go to the candidate visit weekend at the Naval Academy. Seeing the atmosphere there was just really, it was someplace that I really wanted to be. It was someplace that I could see myself at. and see myself succeeding. So
what was it about the atmosphere that made you say, this is something that I would be interested in? Tell me what it was like when you followed a plebe around.
It was very like structured, and I know sometimes that scares people away, but I think I liked that it was so structured and that everyone was there for similar reasons. Like they, and that their end goal was to serve. It wasn't like somebody was there because they were like kind of wanted to be there. Like you have to really want to be there at a service academy. So you know you're going to be surrounded by other people who have like similar drive and similar goals that you do.
What was it like when you visited West Point?
When I visited West, we went during the very beginning of their spring break, so it was kind of empty, but we did get to see a lot of the plebes, so I saw what I'm going to be. I knew a lot of people there just because, you know, the Army's such a small community. It didn't feel as, like, strange to me, if that makes sense. Like, the Naval Academy, like, we know a couple people that are in the Navy and went to the Naval Academy, but, like, at West Point, it's the Army, so we know so many more people. We know so many families that are there already. We know kids that are at West Point. We know, like, I know what life's going to be like on an Army base. Like, I don't really know what life's going to be like on naval bases. You know, sometimes you just get a feeling. You're like, yeah, this is where I want to be. I think that's what happened when I went to West Point. I was really driven towards service because I've always been a part of teams, whether that was like sports or like being in clubs. I knew that I wanted to be a part of like a bigger, something bigger than myself. And that's really what the military is. And I just knew that by joining the military, I was going to be able to be a part of like a really great team and be surrounded by people who are really, really driven and aren't going to quit, are going to be all they can be.
What are you looking forward to the most about being at West Point or being in the service?
I'm probably looking forward to, you know, meeting people who are similar to me, because not to say it's hard to be like the hardest worker, but like sometimes it does get pretty isolating. But when you go to a service academy, specifically probably West Point and then the military, you're going to be surrounded by kids who also have the same work ethic. So you're probably not going to be the hardest worker. You know, it's going to be much more refreshing to be surrounded by, to be a part of a team that everyone's working really hard. There's no one like slacking off. And I think that's what I'm really excited for about the military in general, because, you know, there's this expectation that follows when you join the military. It's that you're serving your country. You can't like half-ass it. Because if you half-ass it, like that's, you're protecting your country. Like what are you going to half-ass it when you're trying to protect your country? The expectations are what I'm really looking for. Like I know they're going to be difficult, but you know, working towards those is definitely going to be, it's not necessarily going to be fun, but it's going to be challenging, and it's going to be really rewarding once you reach those goals.
I'd say that just like with me, like I've learned so much, like I'm so much more confident than from when like a year ago. Being in the infantry, definitely getting to like going from like a private to like a team leader, and then like even like being able to look at the squad leader position is like, you learn so much. Even like if it's like a small task, like you'll start learning so many more things. Whenever I went to airborne school, I was talking to other people, and like sometimes like I was like, wait, you didn't do what? Or like, you didn't do this, or you didn't do that, or like, yeah, you don't know this. It's kind of like that. So like, I just feel infantry men get a lot more exposure.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
I couldn't agree more. From the guy that went through basic training at Sandhill all the way up to where I'm at now, you know, when there's another human within eyesight of you that wants to do the same thing to you that you want to do to them. And then all of a sudden that starts to trickle down. The people that have seen those things start to teach people, you know, so then you get to be your drill sergeants, your staff sergeants, your sergeant first classes that have seen these things that are teaching you, they're raising you. Things that you think are just common are not common. You attribute falling out of the run to not being able to carry your buddy off the battlefield if he took a bullet to the stomach. They're like, no. Falling out of the run means you just weren't fast enough to, like, you didn't want to do PT enough that day. You know, like, it's like there's such a difference in that kind of mentality. We would both be preaching to the choir for an hour. What are you enjoying the most about the Army as a whole?
I'd say, like, a really big thing is travel and meeting people and challenges, pushing yourself to the limit. Like going to basic training, like that was my first time ever going outside state for more than probably a week. Going like to Georgia, coming from California, you know, growing up in California my whole life, like, and meeting all these people from different walks of life was just like, wow, like there's so much more to the world. And just like, you know, talking and realizing that like every other soldier is just like you or has a whole different life, and like they're committing like to the same thing that you want to commit to, and like you guys are like, you guys all want to do the same exact thing. I feel like that's like a really big thing, which is also like, which is also camaraderie. You guys all want to do the same thing, and you guys are all here for one thing, and like to get your tambourine or to get your blue cord or to get your, like your airborne wings. Like I feel like that's like a really big thing in the military too, that like brings people together.
But I love like that. Meeting,
like challenging yourself. So like even like before the Army, my 2 mile time before I joined the Army was like 17 minutes. Now I could run 20 miles in sub 4 hours. And like just looking at myself back then, like people don't know what they're capable of, and people don't, sometimes you need to put yourself out of that comfort zone and you need to see what you're capable of, because like not a lot of people know that. And like that's why like a whole bunch of people feel down these days, and that's why a whole bunch of people feel like they don't have a purpose. Like the thing I tell people a lot is like the Army gave me like a purpose. It gave me something to work towards. These past 2 years I've been working towards running faster or getting stronger for RASP. I'm like, that's all, like I just have my, like you ask anybody, like Brady, I've been telling Brady for the past year, like he's been asking me like, oh, like when are you going to RASP? I'm like, and like I remember the day I told him, he's like, oh yeah, hell yeah, dude. And like I remember when I talked to you when you showed up, and like that's when like my RASP packet was like in the works. And I say the Army just gave me a purpose. Like every day I wake up, I know exactly what I want. I know exactly what I'm going to go. Like not a lot of people do that. So I feel like the Army really did give that to me, especially like Ranger school. Like I remember I'd hear so much about Ranger school before I joined the Army. And I was just like, man, that is like such like a really crazy thing to do. And like now that I did that, and now I'm looking back at that, like it just makes me like think that like, dude, like you can definitely do anything you want. Like a lot of people like will, you know, laugh at you, but like, no. Like a lot of people be like, oh, I want to do this, but like, you know, it's kind of too hard. I'm like, no. Like nothing is impossible to do. Like nothing. Like when I got to 101st, when I first failed RASP, like they were telling me, they're like, yeah, dude, like, nah, you won't be able to go to RASP again, man. Like instantly I was like, man, like really? Like, wow, like that's a bummer. I've just started every single opportunity I got, like I took it. And like, as I got closer, I started to see like, hey, this can actually work. Like if I keep like applying myself to these things that, you know, I want, like it will come through, like it will come true. Like you put in the work, if you give the Army everything, the Army will give you some. Like
yeah,
the Army will give you something totally in return. Like yeah, so like
I couldn't agree like, more.
If I could do it, like a private like me that's barely been in like not even 3 years yet, like anybody could do it. And like I just feel like people need that exposure, like to discomfort or like whatever, like something you're not used to. Like I'm not saying like to go like do like to go run 5 miles right now, or like just do something like that's out of your like that's not out of your reach, but like do something different. Like and joining the Army, I'd say like I'd say like it's the best thing. It's like the perfect way to just get uncomfortable and like just to see what you're made out of.
Talking to a lot of the Army veterans at work really got me thinking. They were like, it was the best time of my life. And I was just sitting there and I was just like, best time of your life. I think back to you and Colonel Neil and everybody else's dads, and it's just like, you guys are always having a good time. You guys are like, you go to work, come to our practices, you'd be there to coach us. You know, you guys had a good work-life balance. And of course, it was like, I met you when there weren't that many deployments going on and stuff. But still, it was like, it was nice to see that you were present at least, because ideally in the future, I'd like to have a family. And I was like, this sounds like something I want to do.
What are some of the things that you're looking forward to the most about serving?
I'd say just becoming a better leader. Overall, being a leader in college with college students, the one downside to being part of a Corps of Cadets that's not in a commissioning centric program, that's like everyone's going to go in the military, you have a lot of people that aren't in it. And it was kind of hard to like get my bearings because as a leader at school, because I'd like to say like a good 98% of the people I dealt with, they just didn't care. And it was like really hard to find those individuals that cared enough. And just my best foot forward, I couldn't motivate them enough or have a high enough morale for people to do that. And for me, that was something I saw as a learning lesson. So I'm hoping that when I get into the Army, I can improve on that whenever I get my first platoon and have the highest morale out of any platoon in the unit that I go to. Just learning more methods and figuring out what else I need to work on as a leader as well are big things that I'm looking forward to experiencing when I get the chance to serve.
I mean, just diving into that, Jesse, right off the bat, learning how to influence people. There's so many different books and podcasts when people talk about leadership, but what they're really talking about is influence and the ability to influence somebody to do what it is that needs to be done and not necessarily what they want to do, but what needs to be done. You know, I often say the pinnacle of leadership is to get people what needs to be done and make them think it was their idea. That's when you're inspiring people. Motivating people is when they're doing things that they don't want to do because they feel like they're either going to get in trouble or there's going to be repercussions if they don't do it. Like that's motivating people. Like, I didn't want to do this, but I'm doing it because I have to. Inspiring people is getting them to think, I want to do this. I want to take this wall down. I came up with this idea on my own to be the most physically fit platoon. You are inspiring your platoon when they say, it is our idea to be the best platoon in the whole battalion. Motivating them works for a little bit, but inspiring them, they carry you. And they're like, we plan on having that best score. The other ways you inspire people is through your technical understanding. So do you understand the weapons? Do you understand how to use the artillery? Do you understand how to do plans, make plans? So now they look and go, oh, my platoon leader knows what he's doing. He's skilled. Like, he's got skills. He knows how to use a computer. He knows how to write. He knows how to communicate. He knows how to, he's got skills, technical skills, right? But the one that is absolutely the one that if you're going to inspire people, like, they need to know how much you care. And I'm sure you've heard that 1,000 times. Everybody knows, there's no surprise that no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And until they know how much you care about them and it's genuine, it doesn't matter how good you are at that other stuff. Right? But that's so easy. Everybody knows it. Here's the answer. It's also like saying, get in shape. It's no surprise. What do you need to do to get in shape? You need to exercise more and you need to have a good diet. Then why are so many people not in good shape? Because they're not willing to do the things that need to be done. And so in order to inspire your people, they got to know how much you care. Why? Some people just don't care what their people think about them. They're like, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to complete a mission. That's what jerks say. You know, they're like, oh, I didn't join the army to make friends. I don't want to hang out with that person, you know, because that I guarantee that person's going to be a jerk and they're going to be an ass. And that kind of attitude is only going to get them, you know, so far.
So, I have had my heart in aviation pretty much since I was a little kid. And I kind of put all my cards into going aviation when I was at the academy. Ultimately got it, but my eyes disqualified me from being a pilot. So I was still going to get to wear a flight suit, still going to get to fly an aircraft, but I wasn't going to be the person actually flying the aircraft. I was going to be manning weapon systems and doing navigation and comms between me and airports and airfields and aircraft carriers. As cool as all that stuff was, I was a little bit disheartened by the fact that I wasn't actually able to fly the aircraft, but I stuck with it. I went down to Pensacola. There's been long waits for years now because the Navy changed the program from an old program that was not focused on putting out as many pilots per year to a new program that's supposed to be able to put out way more pilots per year, which is what the Navy needs and what the world needs right now. But the infrastructure of the aviation training program could not sustain that. So things were backed up. Aircraft were going, they were all getting downed because of maintenance issues. There were parts that were failing. It turned into a serious situation. Oh, like at one point there was over 1,000 student aviators just waiting to class up. So there's lots of opportunities in the Navy right now because the aviation community isn't the only short man community for you to go somewhere else. So I made the decision of all the different communities that I could go into that I wanted to go into the Supply Corps. And the main reason for that was basically going from something that I was passionate about to going to something else that I was super passionate about, which the first thing was flying, but the second thing was leadership and actually have a relationship with enlisted.
What have you enjoyed the most so far about serving in the Navy?
Well, there's no shortage of traveling. I do so much traveling. I kind of got exactly what I wanted when I said, like, I love this traveling thing that my dad kind of pulled our family around to do all over the place. I think I want to keep doing that. And like, I joined a service that I honestly think travels probably more so than the Army even does.
I mean, everywhere that I go, I'm on the coast or there's mountains. There's always huge bodies of water. It's always beautiful. Lots of culture. So, you can't not love that. That's a great way to start off. And everybody understands once they join the Navy why the Navy uses that as such a selling point. It's mm-hmm. just like join the Navy, the world is actually a true statement because you really do. I mean, I've been in for 2 years and I've been in Maryland, Washington State, Florida. Now I'm here in Rhode Island. All four of those places are amazing places.
Yeah.
I've gone TDY to California and gotten to visit like Monterey where the Naval Postgraduate School is. I've gotten to go to San Diego. I'm sure that I'll make it over to Hawaii at some point because they need supply guys over at over in Hawaii. There's lots of opportunities in Europe, so that's awesome. Another thing that I really love is like the Navy is so big on like just hands-on and on-the-job training. There's only so much like going into simulators you can do and having an aviator explain to you like what it's like to be inside of an aircraft before they're just like, all right, we're going to get you your harnesses. We're going to get you your G suit. We're going to get you a helmet. You're going to like, I borrowed our commanding officer's helmet because he was the only one that had the same size head as me. He was like, hell yeah, take my helmet, go up there, have a good time. They ran us through all of the survival courses that we needed so that we could actually get flying. And then I just started and I got multiple hours in the jet, getting to see it, getting to experience G-force, getting to actually do like, I got to do some comms between other aircraft that we were flying in formation with. I got to do some comms on the ground, you know, get to actually like punch buttons and actually contribute to the training, getting to do stuff like that. Like that stuff is like so invaluable. And I look back at it and it's such a fond memory. There's like moments of stress, like me and my classmates were back at the academy. Like you completely forget the extremely stressful times and like the worst times, maybe not completely forget, but you forget the majority of the super stressful times. And you just remember like the funny moments, the positive moments, like the things that made you think, I want to go do this in the military and how they kind of come to fruition. That's the stuff that you remember.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are the things you enjoy, not just while you're doing it, but now that you've experienced it, you can work hard to try to get to experience it again or to experience something like that, you know. And the more you start to see those things, you're like, okay, now I know what they're talking about when they say see the world. And now I know what they mean. They mean you can now go to Greece and you can now go to Italy and you can now go up into Germany and Poland or up into Europe, you know, the Mediterranean Sea or somewhere else in the world, right?
Just, you know, how competitive. I'm a pretty competitive person, so I always like to be the best at everything I can be. So when I found out that I could fly for the Army, it kind of, I was like, all right, that's what I'm going to do.
What are you looking forward to the most about being in aviation or being in the Army? Either one of those.
I want to say that aviation, like kind of like small Army, but it's kind of like its own little world. Being able to, you know, see the Army from a different perspective, because I've been seeing it through my dad's eyes right now. When I go to aviation, it's just going to be aviation, doing aviation things. Like, and I really do want to do SOAR. It's a big goal for me. So. That's even smaller Army.
What is it about SOAR that is like attracts you?
That competitive edge, you know, having that, you know, under my belt, going and doing those special things. Like I've talked to some SOAR guys and they've told me the things that you learn in SOAR are completely different than, you know, regular aviation bullets. But, you know, you learn to do those things. And it just, I don't know, it sounds really exciting to me.
Yeah, I think one of the things about pushing it to being competitive and to being on those kind of teams is when you're always kind of pushing yourself, you know, it falls into the category of like you are the average of the five people you spend the most amount of your time with, right? And if you're competitive, you want to be surrounded by other competitive people or other people that are highly skilled, right? And it's going to improve your skills. It's going to make you a little bit smarter. You're going to learn something from those kind of people. And you want to be surrounded by that, the people that have the same values, that people have the same, that culture of we can always do a little bit better, just a little bit better tomorrow than we did today. The people coming out of the back of the helicopter are going to be a little bit more motivated. They're just going to be a little bit more aggressive. And then when things go bad or when things get rough, people that have that kind of mentality have a tendency to do a little bit better. And in our profession, the profession of the military, you know, where we're trying to win our nation's wars, you need to be aggressive and you need to be able to be ready to win when things kind of change the most.
So I originally wanted to be a pilot. I was most preferred aviation. I was like gung-ho, ready to do it. So then I went to cadet summer training, summer of 2022, did my flight physical. All right, cool. I did everything I needed to do. I'm on track to become a pilot. And then a week before we put our choices in, so we had already been assessed by all the branches. We already gotten our most preferreds, preferreds, and least preferreds. And I'm like, awesome. I get a call from my cadre at school and they're like, hey, your flight physical is incomplete. And I was like, oh, I don't think so. I did it at camp. I got it marked off. And they're like, well, no, Fort Rucker, I guess Fort Novacell now is not tracking that you have completed your flight physical. What you need to do is go get a completely new one, send it to Fort Rucker, Fort Novacell, and they'll send it back to wherever you got it. So it'd be Cavazos, and then you'd be good to go. And I'm like, well, is that feasible? And they're like, no, you need to put that from number one to number 20, whatever, however many numbers of branches there are. So then I was like, okay, I got a week to figure out what I want to do. They always touted MI like it was a super cool branch. And it's like, oh, not a lot of lieutenants get it. So it's kind of like held up there on a pedestal. And I was like, okay, well, if I'm not doing one cool thing, I want to do the next coolest thing, at least in my head at the time. Mm-hmm. So I put in for MI. Now that I'm here, I'm not really loving it. I don't think it's exactly what I wanted to do. But that was my mindset at the time. Like, I want to be the dude that gets the thing that not many people get. I want to be like one of the few that gets it. So I put in for an Bradso. So an extra 3 years to get a most preferred to match up. And so then I got my branch and I was like, okay, cool. I got it. Now that I'm here, now I'm finding out more, like, what were we doing? It's less interesting to me, but I'm still a little more open-minded about it because I'm at Bullock. Obviously it's not going to be all the cool things you're going to be doing. So
when it comes to like being a part of something like special or being a part of, you know, something elite, you know, or being a part of something that only a few people get, every one of the branches, I can tell you something along the lines of the person that feels like they're part of something special and the person that is a part of something elite, every branch. And mm-hmm. every branch, I can tell you that there's the opposite, the most that they didn't ask for it, that they're the bottom of the rung, that they're mm-hmm. that they're nothing. There's they're that branch's lowest person. Every branch has those people, right? Mm-hmm. No matter what it is, whether it's aviation, military intelligence, or infantry, there's somebody out there that says, I did not ask for the infantry. This was my last choice, right? And then there's people that said, this was my first choice. I couldn't see myself doing anything else, you know? And then there's people that show up there and they go, this isn't what I expected. This is totally not what I thought it was going to be. That happens in every single branch, right? And it happens maybe at different times, you know? Maybe it doesn't happen until you're a captain and you're like, this fucking, okay, at first it was cool while I was flying all the time, but now that I'm not flying and now I'm making flight plans, like, this fucking sucks, you know? And the infantry is the same way. Every branch is the same way. Well, for you, as you go forward, is like the things that the attitude at which you want to attack the military, attack the army, and attack life. I promise you, whatever it is you're looking for, you're going to find it. Just mm-hmm. like at Fort Novacell, right? Whatever you're looking for, you will find. You will find boring shit if that's what you're looking for. And if you're looking for ways to get inspired and ways to be motivated inside of whatever brigade and organization with whatever mission you want, you will find it. You will find a way to say, hey, this is a great mission. When you show up in Poland, there's going to be people like, this is a waste of time. This fucking sucks. We're not doing anything over there. That's the way it's going to be. I mean, that's how people were in Afghanistan and Iraq, right? We're making a difference. We're over here winning the war. This is making a difference. And then there's people that are like, this fucking stupid. We're not doing anything over here. Nothing has changed. This is the third time I've been to Afghanistan and nothing has changed, you know, like, and so life in the army is going to become this attitude thing of where you're going to be surrounded by that challenge. And the thing about being in the shoes that you're getting ready to be in is you're going to have a lot of opportunity to influence that. You will. And unless you have the attitude that's like, well, I can't influence shit. I'm just a fucking lieutenant and I got to do what captains and majors tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. No, you don't. Because as soon as you can smile and walk out that door and you can influence the group of people that you're going to be around, what are you looking forward to the most about serving, about getting out to a brigade?
I'm looking forward to getting out and seeing the world. Unfortunately, now I'm not getting that, like a duty station I haven't been to before. But since the first one, we'll correct that later. I'm just excited to meet new people. Like, it's just awesome. Obviously, growing up being a military brat, it's a little bit easier for me to just make new friends. Like, me and Hunter met each other twice before we were like buddy back in the day. The people here, we met 4 months ago, and now I feel like I've known these people my whole entire lives. It's just, I'm excited to just make new friends. I don't even know who I'm going to meet at this point at my next unit, who I'll meet in Poland. And then just continuing relationships with people I've already met. So some of my buddies from college are going to the 173rd. So we're already making plans, like when I'm in Poland, flying back down there on a 4-day, seeing them. I'm just excited to get started and meet new people, strengthen bonds with other people that I already know, experience things that not a lot of other people get to experience.
Yeah. And everything you just said, if you can imagine, a lot of your soldiers feel the same way. A lot of those soldiers, those sergeants that get you as their officer, and the soldiers that you're going to be around, and the soldiers that you're not necessarily in charge of, but the soldiers that are going to look at you, and they might not have the example that they're looking for, but they're like, hey, what did your platoon leader say? What did he say? And then they look over and they want to hear that attitude. You know, they joined the army with very similar things. I want to see the world. I want to meet great people. I want to have great experiences. But here I am. Instead, I'm guarding a container in Poland, you know, for 12 hours a day, 12 hours on, 12 hours off. I go to the gym for 2 hours. I play video games for 6 and I sleep for 6. Blah, blah. It sucks. You know, so you can now create that for those people to have that experience, you know, to ask them about that, to tell them how you grew up, you know, and to get to know them.
Tune into part 3 of this series, where you can hear about some of the disappointing things that they've experienced so far and some of the things that they're not looking forward to about service. They'll also share their advice for people their age, people thinking about the service academies, and life in general. Looking forward to our next conversation.
Thanks for listening today. I hope we sparked some thoughts about the people that have inspired you to be who you are today. I hope you share some of your thoughts, and better yet, demonstrate them for the people in your life. Our pursuit is to get a little bit better every day. Progress equals small victories stacked on top of each other, building like compound interest. Keep stacking these positive habits. Habits like getting up early, working your butt off, learning something new, being positive, and surrounding yourself with phenomenal people. Please share your comments at the links in the show notes and DM us at Teach Me to Fish podcast on Instagram or Facebook. Looking forward to our next conversation.
Sky in your mind.